You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Diaries by the Heart. I'm Caitlin Prest. Molly Osberg has carried her journals to every house she's lived in since 2007. They're decorated with pictures of her and her friends' faces smushed up to photocopy machines and Polaroid close-ups of cigarettes and hangovers.
Amelia and I hugged and said our goodbyes, and now it's just me.
With labels written underneath in blue pen.
August 18th, 2004.
In her journals, it's the early aughts. It's the time of face glitter and blue jeans without back pockets, skate shoes, and frosted-tipped hair.
I have something like 20-odd books that I filled between the ages of 14 and 18, and I really only wrote about four things. Boys I was kissing, the drugs I was doing, how much I totally hated high school, and Amelia.
Hey!
What's up,
hey.
Girl?
Hey!
Oh my God, you
did family!
She's like smoking cigarettes, hitting me in the arm and saying that I was a dick.
February 22nd, 2003. I just got off the phone with Amelia, which reminded me to write in you. March 24th, 2005. When we got off the plane, it was so warm. Me and Amelia stripped down to our tank tops and did cartwheels. May 29th, 2003. I miss hanging out with Amelia. I hate being grounded. January 18th, 2005. I adore Amelia, but sometimes I struggle to understand how one person could need so much attention. It's 2002. It's my first year of high school. I have this really nasty haircut. I think I had probably fucked up my hair with sun in, like maybe a year earlier. You know, you like spread it on, you think it's going to turn your hair blonde. But as I was brunette, I actually turned it orange. And I remember in my class picture, I had like hair that matched the foliage that was right behind me. We met in detention our freshman year. For years, one of our favorite things to tell people was how we met. So I walk in and I'm trying to look super cool, like my mom didn't just drop me off and cuss me out a little bit. I wasn't the kind of kid that got detention, and I was probably grounded forever. So I walked in and there's this girl sitting on this couch, and I recognize her. I know exactly who she is. I've sort of like had my eye on her for a minute. She was unlike any girl that I had ever seen before. She had this crazy tank girl haircut, totally bleached blonde, and these tattered-ass jeans that were ripped, like, right below her ass. And it completely blew my mind. I'd never seen a girl that didn't wear a bra like that, who was just, like, filthy-looking and smelly, but still, like, deeply beautiful and, like, completely poised. She was sitting on a couch near the magazine rack, cross-legged, scribbling in this book. And I'm sort of, like, posturing, pretending that I don't see her, but she's the one that's like, hey, what are you in for? I tried to look, you know, super cool, like I do. So I sort of shrugged and was like, well, you know, skipping. She was like, you ever seen The Breakfast Club? And I asked her what she was writing in. She said it was her journal. It was, like, really warped in this kind of fucked-up book that was, like, expanding a little bit from all the, like, cutouts of magazines and, like, hip comics that she was putting in it. I had my journal with me, too. It wasn't, like, nearly as cool as hers, but I decided to show it to her anyway. So we've been in school for about, like, 3 months, and
she was already friends with all the super hip kids. She had this girl that was trying to bone her, who was, like, junior at the time, who was essentially the queen of, like, lesbian mafia at the school. She got to go out and smoke cigarettes in the woods between classes. No one would ever give me a ride. I'm pretty sure that I, like, followed her around a little bit. Every time that she was hanging out with her cool friends, I'd make sure that I was, like, right nearby. February 9th, 2003. Amelia was over last night. It's refreshing to hang out with her. I'm kind of afraid of liking her too much, though. I don't like liking people who are already so popular. It's a bit embarrassing that I should feel that way. Why should I care? April 7th, 2003. I'm really sad again today. Amelia told me today she hopes that we don't turn into the same person. Yeah, me too. I just feel super weird. I want to curl up inside myself. We probably hung out for about, like, 4 or 5 months before I ever made it over to her house, and I was fucking terrified when I did. She lived in this great, creaky, orange townhouse in the hip part of the city with her parents, and it was split into, like, two pieces, so you almost never saw or heard her parents when they weren't around. And a huge pantry with a gigantic farm table that had, like, writing and doodles from all of her parents' semi-famous friends on it. I almost never went into her bedroom. I don't remember seeing it for a long time, even though she just sort of kept her bed in, like, this tiny little closet up there. We spent all of our time in the kitchen just, like, listening to tunes and dancing. She had the kind of parents that had these illustrious past that, like, we never actually really got that much information about, but I did know that her dad knew a lot of rock stars and that her mom always had a super dry martini in her hand. They seemed like they'd come from another planet. They, like, weren't really so much parents as, like, cool people that hung out in her house with her and every once in a while would, like, descend down the stairs from some, like, oblique thing they were doing in the other part of the house to, like, you know, make another martini and, like, tell her how excellently she was doing. But most importantly, her parents gave zero fucks what we were up to after they went to bed. Shortly, I became the kind of person who would smoke cigarettes in the woods between classes. She just had this really amazing way of explaining it. I also taught many people how to smoke cigarettes using the way that Amelia taught me how to smoke cigarettes. February 16th, 2003. She said to just take the smoke in your mouth, but then take an additional quick breath in, like my mom just walked into the room. May 11th, 2003. I went over to Amelia's house to sleep over yesterday. I met her sister. She has incredibly curly blonde hair and smells like soap. Amelia and her family are so cute together. It makes me want to be nicer to my mom. Then when everyone was asleep, we got some drinks because I wanted to be drunk for the first time at home. We did 4 or 5 shots, I think. The room didn't spin, but I definitely felt different. We walked to the park and had a cigarette. The combination of the cigarette buzz and the vodka buzz was like, whoa. So I don't know exactly whose idea it was for us to start, like, actually reading each other's journals. Maybe just seemed like a natural progression since we spent so much time working on them together. She would draw pictures and write weird little notes in mine that eventually started to become answers to the entries that I was writing myself. She had this recurring comic character that she used to draw, Sir Rupert the Dust Bunny, of all things. She'd draw him, like, zigzagging across the page. We'd swap journals before boring classes and read about each other's lives. April 4th, 2003. Had a good time at the show and wore a white tie and looked wonderful. But I still feel so bad. I don't like worrying and wondering and having my mood depend on other people. I feel so left out when Em and Amelia have so much to talk about.
April 7th, 2003. Hello, my dear. Assembly sucks. I'm sorry you felt left out. I wish it could make you feel better. I love you, Amelia.
June 15th, 2003. It's not that the people I'm hanging out with aren't cool or anything. It's just they're so mundane. I used to think high school would be different, but I just keep ending up with the same boring kinds of people. I want to be learning different things.
June 16th, 2003. Hello, Molly. So I sat in my tub and read your journal cover to cover. Well, cover to page, but who the fuck cares? The scary thing is that some of the things you wrote were exactly what I was feeling when I got home. I felt like I had no real friends. Then again, what is a real friend? Well, it made me feel so happy that someone felt the same way. It's funny. Our friendship basically started when we switched journals. You have no idea how wonderful it is for me to read the total and complete soul of my dearest Molly.
No, what? Who did I pick a fight with? Nuh-uh. No, no, no. Oh, I thought, no, dude, no, that was something.
But, like, we were 15, so it got complicated. She would write things in her journals, meaning for me to see them so that, like, she could have a power advantage over me. And, like, I would counter at her being really sad when, like, she said or did things that didn't map to, like, what I wanted her to do. And then I would write about it in my journal so that I knew that she would know that she had hurt me. A lot of times I would not inherently address her or, like, not intentionally address her, but just, like, pour my shit onto the page and talk about how sad and neglected I felt, knowing that she would look at it and, like, feel the need to counter by being super nice to me. I suppose, like, it's probably important to point out at this point that Amelia is, like, beautiful, like, super beautiful. A casual date got a tattoo to commemorate meeting her kind of beautiful, and definitely don't want to bring her to a party that your crush is that kind of beautiful. So I always assumed that everyone we went to school with was in love with her. I knew my boyfriend at the time certainly was. I probably was too. I don't really know. So in the same way that people who spend a lot of time together end up using, like, a lot of the same phrases and speaking in the same cadences, our journal started to reflect this weird language that we created together.
We became the same person.
Like, we melded into a creature.
I picked up part of her sunny, breathy tone and started calling everything silly.
We would wear, like, pants that were ripped open
all over them, and they had paint on them.
We were both obsessed with this, like, really lush, overwrought, ridiculous series of novels called the Weetsie Bat series.
Weetsie Bat?
Cherokee Bat and the Goat Guys.
So we started picking up words from that, too. We borrowed phrases from it, like, we called everything Slinkster Cool after a while.
And we had huge bags that we would carry around that had everything in it.
And over the course of a couple years, our handwriting sort of melted into each other. I started...
Including, like, face paint.
Using a lot of the round cursive that she did.
All of the pens in the world. And, like, tiny little stuffed animals.
And she stopped dotting her I's, which is a habit I got into after I saw the movie Almost Famous. There was always some degree of sexual tension in our relationship. A couple times it really came out in a serious way. She was definitely the first person that I ever watched porn with, and she just sort of put it on one night when we'd been drinking. I remember the moment of, like, sitting on that couch and being like, whoa. I'm almost certain that it was her idea. It seemed like something she'd done before. It's like some real, like, umchika, 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 right? But, like, it was kind of silly, and she sort of put it on. I thought that it was a joke.
It was about a society of women that had traveled back from the future, and they wore these sexy fur outfits, and one of them was, like, tied to a pole as punishment.
And then we're, like, sitting in her living room with these, like, fucked up teenage drinks in our hand.
And we had our weird drinks that we would make that probably, like, involved Kahlua or something like that. Because Molly was into The Big Lebowski.
And all of a sudden, there's just, like, softcore pay-per-view on, and we just watched it for a little while and, like, sort of giggled to each other. And it turned me on. To this day, some of the things that were in that porno are still things that I think about now.
I thought it was hot as hell.
And we watched porn for 2 hours, and we got so drunk that we fell asleep on the couch. So we used to go to New York to visit her super cool older sister, who also gave zero fucks what we were up to. So we take the Fonghua bus down to visit her sister, who'd pick us up in Chinatown and, like, take us out in the village or something like that, and then back to her super lovely sort of idyllic spot in Staten Island with her super hot motorcycle boyfriend. I just call him a motorcycle boyfriend. I don't even know if he, like, really had a motorcycle. But, yeah, we would go down there and eat at the restaurants that we'd seen in Sex and the City and buy outfits and, you know, do all that, like, New York City teenage girl shit. So one of the days when we were out shopping, she sees Babeland or some other sex shop and drags me in. And, like, I'm just, like, a deer in fucking headlights. I, like, don't even really know what to do. But, of course, she's, like, prancing around being like, look, this one lights up. and she sort of, like, goaded me, and I, like, goaded her a little bit, and then she told me that she had a friend who had a vibrator that was fantastic, that she loved, so we bought, like, some tiny little pocket rockets that I ended up using for the next, like, 6 years. So that night, we went home to her sister's place.
I think we had dinner, and we drank some wine, and we went and smoked cigarettes on the fire escape and looked out over, like, Staten Island and the city.
And then we went back into the living room and pretended that we were going to go to sleep. But then she sort of looks over at me, like, giggling.
And I was like, so, are we going to try? And she was like, yeah.
And so I, like, reluctantly take the vibrator out of the package, and I hear hers buzzing first, and we're both, like, have these blankets over our bodies. And I put the vibrator on my cunt.
And then we were both so quiet. And, like, just the little hums of our twin pocket rockets.
And, like, honestly, I can't even tell you what happened after that because I had never used a vibrator before, and I immediately came super hard.
It's really cute.
And then I probably just fell asleep. I mean, I knew that I super wanted her. One of the first times that I got super blasted. At her house, of course, after her parents went to bed. We were just sitting around the table, drinking, then we decided to go outside. I'm almost certain that she kissed me first, although I really couldn't tell you for sure. Made out super hard for a second. I probably, like, fell over. I was so drunk. I remember feeling, like, confused and flattered and, like, super into it. We were sort of like, whoa, 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 that was crazy. Went back to her parents' house, sat on the porch for a little bit, kept smoking cigarettes, talking about other things. And then we started making out like crazy again. And she basically, like, grabbed me and brought me up to her attic room, the one that I spent zero time in, and just, like, stripped off all of my clothes and fucking got on top of me. And we did some, like, weird teenage approximation of fucking, like, fucking scissoring me and shit and, like, having no idea, like, what that even was at that age. I was just like, oh, cool. It was, like, the prototype for all of the drunk sex that I would have for the rest of my life. It wasn't that I pined for her that way exactly, but I was enamored with her completely. And it was probably the only time in my life that I didn't, like, ever question the difference between wanting someone and wanting to, like, inhabit their body. In any case, my boyfriend was furious. In retrospect, it's completely unclear who he was more jealous of. It wasn't like that night was the end of our friendship or anything, but we sort of, like, laughed it off, but then, you know, she got really into, like, theater and contra dance and, like, hanging out with her slightly cooler friends, and I got super into drugs. I was, like, it was too hard being close to her because it required having to, like, shrink away from the attention that she so often got. Like, it was totally a jealousy thing in this way. I think that she knew that I, like, needed her, and, like, I knew that she was always going to eclipse me, and that we got, like, really tangled up in a lot of that, and it imploded. So we spent a lot less time together, and I stopped going over to her house so often. So we obviously stopped swapping journals. It had gotten a little bit too intense for both of us, I think. She was still always there for me when I needed it, but it wasn't the way they used to be. There was no, like, major falling out. We just became sort of different people. Still, whatever crazy kinetic energy we had in those moments had, like, cooled or at least, like, twisted somewhat and, like, gotten a little darker. By the time we graduated, I was good enough at being myself that I didn't want to be Amelia so much. June 25th, 2004. Tonight I went to Amelia's house and it feels like the old days, before I knew her so well, before I got used to the smell of her house and the rhythm of her life. I'm remembering what it felt like to be almost in awe of someone, to be enchanted by their way of life. We spent most of the summer fucking around together, going to parties, acting dumb, telling boys off, sitting in the park, writing in our journals, like not over each other but next to each other. I decided that I was going to be a writer when I grew up. And so I made this list in the back of one of my notebooks of all the things that I wanted to appear in some of the novels that I was going to write someday. So this was basically like the train that went behind my house every night at 2:03 a.m. The way my mom cried when her dog died after losing so many goddamn husbands. And Amelia, in parentheticals next to her name, I wrote the way that I remember her, you know, like mythical. She was my last friend to leave for college. There's a page in my journal that some doofy fucking Polaroid of the two of us dated August 31st, where we're both looking at the camera in exactly the same way with these cigarettes dangling out of our lips. And it just says, Amelia and I hugged and said our goodbyes, and now it's just me. August 18th, 2004. What is this thing that Amelia and I made? It's loving the way you look, sure. It's catcalling boys, carrying everything you need with you in your bag. It's being loud and loving sex and being beautiful in a strange, ugly way, wearing the same pair of jeans every day. So, of course, we kept in touch like you do, sent letters, visited each other. I went to her college. She came to my town. But it's hard watching each other change, and especially after we've been so deeply recognizable to each other for so long. It's been like a decade since we graduated high school, and we see each other once a year at most. But after so much time, every time that I see her, and I forget about this, we still talk exactly the same way and dance exactly the same way.
That was Molly Osberg. She's a writer based in New York. This is her first foray into audio.
Remember when you wrote letters to every single person in our entire graduating class asking them to love you?
Oh, that's the most self-indulgent thing ever. Oh, so embarrassing.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, so fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, I found the letters that you sent to me when you were in San Francisco.
Oh my God, did I talk about that boy that I hooked up with that was from the Russian circus? Yes!
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you
That was one of the best hookups of my life.
Uh-huh.
It was so great. I'm not even sure if shit got weird like right after we hooked up or if we hooked up like we're super close for a while. And then, like, you started getting really into being stoned, and I got really into contra dancing and, like, being a theater
Oh, man.
This piece was written by Molly Osberg and produced by Mitra Kaboli. Editorial support from Alan Watts and John Walker, with The Heart. That's me, Mitra, Jen Ng, and Sharon Mashihi. Special thanks to Amelia. You heard music in this episode by Ketsa, Waylon Thornton, Tonality Star, and Johnny Ripper. More diaries to come. If you have a diary or lots of diaries that you suddenly feel a burning urge to get back into, and you want to share them with us or with the world, Totally snap some pictures of it with your phone and tweet at us at the Heart Radio with choice excerpts. Use the hashtag HeartRadioDiaries. Another thing, if you remember our last season, Silent Evidence, was the story of Tennessee Watson confronting child sexual abuse. At the end of that season, we had mentioned that there was going to be a companion piece going out into the world that was an investigative journalism sort of look at why Tennessee's case and many other cases like it fall through the cracks. And that piece is being made on the radio show and podcast Reveal by PRX and the Center for Investigative Reporting. It's coming out this week on Sunday, so you should definitely subscribe to the Reveal podcast to get the other face of that story. Thanks, as always, to the Knight Foundation and MailChimp for their continued support of Radiotopia.
Radiotopia.